Well, Scripture alone teaches that salvation comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. One of the marks of modern life, one of the frustrations of modern life, and recently when we had a flooding, it got really kind of interesting. But it's the detour. I don't know about you, but, you know, I've cut it a little close. I'm trying to get somewhere, and then all of a sudden there's this detour. And it says, go this way, and it takes me to heaven knows where. You know, and it goes and goes and goes, and you come around, you know, and you think, oh, man. And so traffic gets backed up, and you're going along, and you try to be real clear, bro. Okay, I've lived here long enough. I can move my way around. I can get off of this and get on some surface roads, and you can't beat it. Whatever, you know. But detours come in life, and detours can be really, really frustrating. And if you ignore a detour, for example, during that time we were flooding, there were some people washed away, because they ignored the thing that says detour. Well, the detour is there for a reason. And that reason is because there's something that needs to be dealt with. And if you don't deal with it properly and move around in another direction, you're not going to get to where you're going, no matter how hard you try. But you cannot ignore the detour. So we're going to talk about divine detours. Now, he starts off with a perplexing problem. And where are we? No, I need the second section first. A perplexing problem. There we go, right there. I'm looking at this passage that we're looking at backwards because really the problem he's perplexed about, he's already answered in the first part, which is what I want to talk about, the theology of detours. So I've become your enemy by telling you the truth. Have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? They eagerly seek you, that is, these people who want to put you back under a legalistic system, not commendably, but they wish to shut you out so that you will seek them. These are people who want to take advantage of you, who want to use you for gain, who want you to be submissive to them and their rules, and it's a source of pride to them. But it is always good to be eagerly sought in a commendable manner, and not only when I'm present with you. My children, in whom again I labor until Christ is formed in you, but I could wish to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I'm perplexed about you. He said, the thing that this floored him is just how quickly these Gentile Galatian believers were willing to opt back into a legalistic system of a long list of rules and things you had to check off in order to be right with God. Salvation, believing in Jesus was not sufficient. You had to also do this other stuff. So anytime you add anything to Christ to get you right with God, then you've made that what you actually saved you, not believing in Jesus. So that bothered him. The reason it did was because he wanted to tell them about a detour that he had getting to them. So I'm going to come up with a theology of detours. I beg of you, brethren, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. In other words, he said, learn what I've learned because I really identify with you. You've done me no wrong, but you know that it was because of a bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time. And that which was a trial to you in my bodily condition, you did not desire or loathe, but you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Where then is that sense of blessing you had? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. Now, the Apostle Paul was under a clear direction of the Holy Spirit to spread the gospel. But he was also under complete submission to the Lord Jesus Christ and leadership of the Holy Spirit as to where he spent his time. He knew he had a limited amount of time, and he had to make it count. He had to go. He had to plant churches where the field was ripe and then let God move through those people because Jesus does the work through us, And not any one man is going to get the world saved. Not anybody. Not even a guy like Billy Graham that preached to millions. No one person can get the job done. And God never intended for it to. God meant for it to be done in and through us. And so the mission of the Apostle Paul and the mission of the early apostles was to go and plant churches, ecclesias, assemblies, groups of people that were the body of Christ that would then spread the gospel in that area. And then they would then go send people out. So it's this ever-growing organism called the church. And he had felt the leadership of the Spirit to bypass, at this particular time, on that particular journey, Galatia, which is like saying, my goal was to get to Canada, but I had no intention of stopping whatsoever in Michigan. Because, you know, Canada is where I was headed. Now, there's nothing wrong with Michigan. Michiganders are fine people, but that's where I wasn't. I felt like that God wanted me to get to Canada. And then I got this detour, something happened to me that made me stop. And that's the only reason I stopped, was that something happened to me. I got sick. But you know it was because of a bodily illness that I preached the gospel. And he ended up there in that area of the Roman Empire. And he said, well, I'm here, and even though I'm sick, and he kind of alludes to what his sickness was, I can still talk. I can still proclaim the gospel. I can still share Jesus Christ. And that's what he began to do. And as he did it, people began to believe. And all of a sudden he realized that his impediment, his detour, his stop was a divine detour. It was a thing that God was going to use. The thing in and of itself wasn't a good thing, but that there's no such thing as a thing that doesn't work out for good, okay? All things work together for good. It doesn't say all things are good. It just says all things will work out for good for those who love the Lord that are called to his purpose. Now, he alludes to what the problem may have been. It was an eye issue. He says, because I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. We don't know what it was. There's been speculations as to what kind of a disease it might have been, but it meant that he had to stop and spend some time and rest and get some kind of medicinal treatment for this thing and pray and get healing of some kind. And while he was at it, bam, this wonderful reception to the gospel happened there among the Galatians. And they were just, they just took the gospel and accepted it like they're supposed to. And they were just thrilled. And they didn't despise Paul. And they didn't, his appearance may have been distorted because of this eye issue. But they didn't despise him or loathe him or make fun of him. In fact, they treated him with incredible honor. And they responded totally positively to the good news. Is that Jesus lived a perfect life, died on the cross for sins, rose from the dead, and that the Christian life is trusting him to live that life in and through them. That there are some ethical things that we're going to be doing. There's some moral commands. There's the command to share our faith and all of that. But that Jesus will enable us to do that. He will be the strength and he will be the provision and he will be the life that enables us to happen. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, by being convinced that it's true, that is true. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. And then he reminds them, and this whole book is about that. I don't nullify the grace of God by going back to a legalistic system. Because if Christ came through the law, if you can earn salvation, it's what Mick was talking about the music worship session, was if there's anything we could do to get right with God, then we don't need Jesus. But there's nothing we can do to be right with God. Jesus makes us right with God. And Jesus keeps us right with God. That's the point. And for the people to hear that wonderful good news, Paul had to have a divine detour. Now, as we go through life, we're gonna have some divine detours. In the year 2001, I had one of those wonderful privileges in my life where I was invited to be the Bible study leader for the Gideon's International Southwestern region. We met in Glorieta, New Mexico, which is used to be one of my favorite places on the planet. Baptists had a big training center there, Glorieta Baptist Conference Center. And it has since been purchased and is now a youth center, youth summer center of really effective youth camp, Christian youth camp center called Glorieta 2. But our church owned a cabin there. We built a 50-room, it's not a cabin, it's a 50-room dorm, really, there at Glorieta. And it's one of our favorite places. So I was really excited about getting to, you know, go to one of my favorite places and to be a speaker for one of my favorite groups of people, the Gideons. Now, the Gideons are a group of laymen and professional men, and I'm going to talk about what their purpose is in just a minute. The great thing I like about the Gideons are not only are they wonderful Christians committed to Christ, sharing the gospel and all of that, is that no preacher can join it. If you're an ordained minister, you cannot join the Gideons. Now, because these are businessmen and they're really smart, and they realize if they let a bunch of preachers in, that we could kill it in about a week. And so, you know, we'd get in some kind of fight or another. But these laymen, you know, had enough sense to say, no, we don't need that stuff. Each of us needs to belong to an evangelical church and all that. In fact, you can't be a Gideon unless you have your pastor's endorsement. But you preachers, leave us alone, okay? So, but they do invite, you know, ministers in to teach the word. So I had a wonderful opportunity to do that. At that meeting, it was in 2001, they had a wonderful announcement to make. But in order to tell you that about that announcement, I need to tell you about a detour. You see, you can always spot a divine detour by its results. In 1898, and I had to make me some notes here because I didn't want to trust my memory. 1898, John H. Nicholson and Samuel E. Hill took a couple of Wisconsin traveling salesmen, found themselves in Boscobel, Wisconsin, and they needed to spend the night, and there was only one hotel, and when they got there, they found out there was only one room. And so the hotel owner said, "Gentlemen, you're welcome. Both of you are welcome to use the room if you're willing to have double occupants to be together in the room." And they looked at each other and said, "Well, that sounds fine." So they went. When they got to the room, one of the gentlemen said, "Hey, how would you like to have a?" He said, "I always have an evening devotional. Would you like to join me?" And the other man said, "Yes, I'd love to join you." And so they read the scripture and they prayed. And then later they got to, and then right after that they got to talking, and they talked and they talked and they talked until the wee hours of the morning. And the more they talked, the more excited they became about the Lord and about the Lord's work and something that could be done to harness laymen to do the work of evangelism. They met again a year later in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. And they came up with a goal. They were going to unite traveling salesmen to do evangelism, to learn how to share their faith and to share Jesus Christ as they made their rounds as traveling salesmen. And that became the motive, and they got a name, the Gideons, because there was this man who was just an ordinary guy that God used to do great things. And the symbol of the Gideons is that pitcher that the lamp was in that they broke, and the light then showed. And in the defeat of the Midianites. And so for a few years, that was their emphasis. And then finally, in 1908, a couple of other of those men that they had brought into the group said, "Look, guys, let's do one more step. Let's distribute scriptures. Let's give away copies of the Bible free. Let's just get let's buy some Bibles and let's give them away. Because, you know, we put the Bible in God's hands. God's Word never returns void. The first Bible was placed in the Superior Hotel in Superior, Montana. Now, it took the Gideons, and that announcement was made that night in that meeting. It took the Gideons from 1908 to 2001 to deliver their first 1 billionth Bible or New Testament. And that night they announced, we have achieved this year our 1 billionth distribution of Scriptures in 100 languages. And so all over the world, you know, the Scriptures had gone out to the fact that there was 1 billion. It only took them 14 years to reach the second billion. And I don't know how quick it's going to be before they reach the third billion. But there are 80 million copies of either the whole Bible or the New Testament or Scripture portions given out by the Gideons a year now. And that means there is a portion, either the full Word of God, a New Testament, or a portion of the Word of God given out every 2 seconds. There's no such thing as a divine, there's no such thing as a detour. And a divine detour always, you can always tell it by its results. So God's Word does, he says, never returns to me void. Now you say, well, they don't, a lot of people don't read those, and so on, so on, so forth. But there's still a witness. I don't know if any of you remember when the televised experience of watching when the first spacecraft circled the moon. I don't know if any of you remember that. And they showed us the moon up close and personal. It wasn't when we landed on the moon, but it was when we, that first time we got close enough to circle the moon, you know, to get ready to, you know, and then in the subsequent trip we landed. But that first group that landed on the moon. And it was on Christmas Eve, and the astronaut, they said, what are we going to do? You know, it's Christmas Eve, and we're circling the moon. And so they, and the world watched as one of our astronauts read, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And they read the creation account as they went around the moon, and it was just electrifying. They said that a group of Japanese reporters were in Houston, Texas. They called NASA and they said, what is that book they're reading out of? And where do we find that information? They said, well, where are you right now? They said, well, we're in a hotel. He said, okay, you go to whatever that thing is beside the bed. And open the drawer, and in it there's a book, and it's called the Holy Bible. And open it up to the front, the very first chapter, very first verses, that's what they're reading. And so, over and over and over and over again, I've heard people there, and you go to a Gideon convention, you hear testimony after testimony after testimony from people in all walks of life, students, prisoners, people in trouble. All kinds of things happen when God puts His Word in people's hands. I remember one of the testimonies that touched me so very much was this account of one of the Gideons talking about their work in Brazil, and as they had passed out the New Testaments in this school, and he had gone in to check the New Testaments that they had, and I think they'd had like 6 of them, and he opened up the back where there's a little place to receive, where he's a decision to receive Christ, and on those they had put in an extra page or two for people to sign that they'd received Jesus. Just the listing of the names in Portuguese of the different children that had read the plan of salvation and had accepted Jesus Christ. There are many schools in Brazil that this is the only book they have. The only book they have. And I was thinking to myself when I heard that, those lucky kids, you know, this is it. This, if I'm going to learn how to read This is what I learned how to read. And so across the world, God is spreading his word. But it started with a kind of a detour. Two salesmen in Wisconsin in a chance meeting, one room, got to talking. So it brings me to my final point. There's no such thing in Christ. There are no detours. Okay? As you go through life, there's no detours. God knows exactly where you're going. And he knows exactly where you need to be. And sometimes you don't need to be where you think you need to be. You need to be somewhere else. And he's going to put up a detour. And when he puts up a detour, he's going to want you to do what? Share Christ. Over the last few months, I've had some health detours. And so, one of the things that God did in his mercy, sent me here. Then he sent me to Dr. Ivan, and Dr. Ivan's been shepherding through me through these detours that I've had, some health issues. And one of them has to do with some issues with my left hand. And as a result, I've ended up in some physical therapy. And so while I was, I was in physical therapy, and people ask you, what do you do? And you tell them what you do. And I sort of left it at that, and I was listening to the therapists, the ladies that are there, talking back and forth, and the lady that was working with me that day just brought it up, something that had happened. Her son had recently been baptized, and so I said, well, and the fact that I'm a minister is what causes people to bring up stuff like that. And so they say, and she brought that up, and I said, well, where do you stand? And so she kind of was, was kind of vague. And so I went through the questions that I go through to ask and find out where people are. And then she responded to my questions. And then I asked the question that William Fay teaches us in Share Jesus Without Fear, which is, if what you believe wasn't true, would you want to know? And she said, well, sure. And then I said, that's why I'm here. Okay, I'm here to get my therapy, but that's not why I'm here. I'm here to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And so I gave her, we chatted about what it means to really be a Christian, and then I gave her a book that Andy Stanley wrote called How Good is Good Enough. I highly recommend it as a book to give to lost people, How Good is Good Enough, because it really, really explains the gospel in a wonderful, wonderful way. And so I'm praying for that lady, that she will come to faith in Christ and know him as Savior. But that's a detour. Our coming here to Michigan is in ways a kind of a detour. I never meant to be in Michigan my whole life. This was not on our radar. But God in his providence has brought us here. And out of this has come incredible ministry opportunities that I would never have had. There are In Christ, there are no detours. Jesus said, God said in Isaiah, my word will not return void. 2 billion scriptures will bear fruit. And the lives of millions of Christians will bear fruit in testimony in this age. So as you go through your days, understand that Christ is in you, and that he is going to take you places so that you can share him. You don't have to share yourself. You share him, and he'll take care of the rest. The result was, in Paul's life, people got saved in Galatia. But if Paul hadn't had that detour, we wouldn't have the book of Galatians. We would never know, for me to live as Christ, I have been crucified with Christ. We would never know that if he hadn't had that detour. So folks, you leave the detours in God's hands and you thank God for them, and then you let God bear fruit through them. there are, in Christ, there are no detours. You and I are here today because of a health problem of a traveling evangelist who was forced to stop and share the good news. That's how much God loves you. And across the centuries, people have continued to give you His word and to share this good news. Father, thank you so much for Jesus Christ, who gives us Himself. You give Him to us that we might have abundant life. Thank you for that. Now, would you look this way? Worship team comes. We're going to sing together as we always do as we close this time together. A time of a moment of celebration and confirmation and just wrapping up our time here together. And while we're singing, we'll be standing singing. If you would like to come and have prayer with me, and you've reached a point where you say I want to give my life to Christ. I want to bear witness that I believe in Him. You come and we'll pray together, and you can leave here today knowing that you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, not because of what I say, but because of what the Word of God says. Maybe you want to come and pray over here at one of our altars. There's something going on in your life. You're having some detours. You know, there's an old country western song, "Detour, there's a muddy road ahead." Well, there may be some muddy roads ahead. All of us in this room, there's not a one of us in this room, not a family in this room, that is not dealing with some stuff that God wants to be with you in the midst of. There's not any of us in this room that doesn't have something that you need to turn over to Jesus. Nobody here has that. And we can have prayer together about that also. Maybe you'd like to join our church. You want to come and present yourself for that. And we will talk to you about what the next steps are. So let's stand. Let's sing. You come. We're going to tarry for just a moment. But now's your opportunity. If you'd like to make a public profession of faith of any kind, you come right now.